I'm going to talk about mountains this morning, and I'm not talking necessarily about physical mountains, even though I'm going to show you some of my favorite mountains that I've been to. I'm going to talk about mountains, and I'm talking about those things in front of you that you just cannot seem to look past it, whether it's an illness, whether maybe it's a child who's walked away from the Lord or a spouse who is not with the Lord, or whatever it is in your life right now, whatever that mountain is, whatever that thing is it really weighing you down that you cannot see past. That's what I'm talking about this morning, but I want to show you some really pretty mountains so we can kind of maybe get an idea of some mountains. And I know Pastor James talked about some mountains last week. This is, it's kind of pixely, but it's okay. You can still see the mountains. It's a mountain in Lugano, Switzerland. It's one of the most beautiful, it's one of my most favorite mountains. It surrounds a whole lake in the middle of this city. Is there another one? So there's the city of Lugano. You can barely see it. And those are the mountains in the back. The next mountain in our city, you can actually look up every day and see the Dolomites. They're so beautiful. And then there are Bled, Slovenia. Now, if you want an amazing place to visit, Bled, Slovenia, it sounds funny, B-L-E-D, look it up. It's beautiful. It's a whole town built around this small little lake area with this amazing church in the middle. And it has all, there's the church, if you can kind of, if you move really fast, you might be able to see it. There are the mountains in the back. I'm sorry, the pictures didn't turn out very well, but you kind of get an idea. These are beautiful mountains. They're big. They're majestic. When you stand in front of one, you just feel so small, but you see how big our God is. Amen? But sometimes when you stand in front of them, there might be, like I've been in the mountains. I don't know if anybody else has, and we've had to turn around. All of a sudden, you get so high up in the mountains, it's like zero visibility. We've had that happen. We've had to turn around and go back because I freaked out. I mean, we could mountains in our lives. It bust. And so sometimes when we have mountains in our lives, it blocks out everything from our view. We cannot see anything. We don't know anything. It even blocks out the sun. And for us, I'm going to talk about blocking out the sun, S-O-N, meaning Jesus, not the sun, S-U-N. Everybody understand that? Okay, just want to make sure when I talk about the sun, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And sometimes when we have these mountains in front of us, they block out the sun. We cannot see anything except this problem that's in front of us. And I believe God wants to deliver us today. I believe he wants us to set our minds free, that these mountains will not keep us down, that they will not block us, that they will not blind us from what God has for us, but that they are something that we can just say, like the scriptures say, be moved and they will be removed. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that has come to set us free. And Lord, right now, I pray that you just begin to speak to each and every one of us, Father. Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, Father, you're beginning to touch people, Lord, even as we're talking about mountains, Lord, that we're beginning to even think of maybe something that we've been struggling with, something that we've been walking through, Lord, something that has just been with us, God, and we cannot seem to go past it. But Lord, this morning, I thank you that these mountains will be removed in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for a spirit of faith to rise up in this place and for people to begin to just yell at their mountains to be moved according to what your word says, Father, and that says that it will be moved in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, right now I thank you for faith, God. Lord, I thank you for moving it, Lord. Not leave with what we came with today, Lord, but you are taking it from us and you are removing it, Lord. And I just bless you today, God. Lord, I just humble myself and I say, Lord, here I am. Lord, speak through me, use me, do what you desire today, Father, because it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Lord, and we just love you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, hallelujah. Well, we're going to look first to scriptures in Mark 11, 22 through 24, and just to let you know, some of the scriptures will not be up on the screen today. So if you have your Bible, that's great. If not, I got them. I'll read them for you. Mark 11, 22 through 24, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says, and Jesus replied, have faith in God constantly, not every now and then, constantly have faith in God. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, which is in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. And I think that's a very important thing. In accordance with God's will. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. So the first thing I want to take out of this scripture really quick is we need not to doubt, but believe. God has unlimited power. How many of you believe that God is unlimited in his power this morning? I believe that God can do anything. He has done. He created the heavens and the earth. He created me. He created you. I mean, our God is so amazing. He is so full of power. In Romans 1:20, it says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. The scripture is telling us how amazing the power of God, how unlimited he created in the earth, in the sky. He made everything. We see everything that he has done. He has unlimited power. So we don't need to doubt, we need to believe, because God has the power to do everything for us. Amen. It also says twice, now know that God doesn't repeat things more than once, for he has a purpose for it. So in this scripture, he believed what? In accordance with God's will when we pray. How many of you know sometimes you know you're in traffic and you're like, ooh, God, move that person out of my way. You know what I'm saying? Or something happens in your life and you're like, ooh, God, take care of that because I just, but how many of you know that that might not be in accordance to God's will, you know? And he's saying here that God will do it. Amen? How do we know what God's will is for our life? I'll tell you, it's all about relationship. When we're in a relationship with the Lord, we'll know exactly what he wants to do. We'll hear his voice. You know, the Bible says his sheep hears his voice and they know it. Amen. How do we do that? Through prayer, through reading the word, through just talking for relationship. We'll be married almost 19 years this year. And I know even sometimes what my husband is going to say in certain situations because we have built that relationship by talking, by being together, by doing things together. And through that relationship I have with my husband, I can finish his sentence sometimes. I know exactly if a situation rises up, what's going to happen. And he can do the same for me because of that relationship that we've built together. And that's how we know what God's will is, by building that kind of relationship with God, walking and we know walking with him, being with him. And we know what God's will is going to be for our lives. When we, God, you said, go here with him, it's going to be very clear. And we're not going to second guess it. We're going to go, okay, God, you said, go here. I'm going here. Amen. Matthew 6:33. Again, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. And I wanted to touch on this really quick too, because what does it say? Who do we seek first? God, or the kingdom, depending on what version it is. It says, seek him first and all these things will be added unto you. And how many times have we come before the Lord in prayer and just kind of like spill our guts out to him, go, God, I need this and I need that and do this and do that before we first come to him and just, God, you're amazing. You're awesome. Thank you. If I came to my husband all the time when he used to, he works at home now, but when he used to have to go to work and he would come home, if right when he walked in the door and the first thing I said to him was, this happened and the kid, and I did do that sometimes, I'm just confessing, but I tried not to, but, and I just came to him with this whole list of problems. I don't think that he would be really wanting to do that. I think he wants me to first to come to him and love him and just appreciate him. And then all those things will come next, because you know what? My husband loves us, so he will take care of us. And you know how much God loves us more than my husband loves me. And God loves you more than anybody could ever love you. And when we come to him and we pour our love out on him and we begin to tell him how he is to us and what he means to us, we will know his will, and then he knows what our desires are, and he will begin to do those for us. Why? Because we sought him first. We don't seek God for him to do for us. We seek him because we love him. But because we seek him, because we love him, he will do these things according to his word for us. Amen. So I'm going to talk about five kinds of people today. The five kinds of people when we're talking about mountains. Now, I wanted to go over those scriptures to kind of give us a foundation. So when I go in, if you can look back at the scriptures and kind of understand how each one is going to go. So the first person is people who walk around the mountain. And remember, we said the mountains are the problems or the issues of life that we deal with. People who walk up the mountain is the second one. And obviously, this isn't literal. People who try to go through the mountain. And people who tell the mountain. People who look at the mountain and run away. And people who tell the mountain to be removed. And that's what we just read about, amen? That's my most favorite one. But I have probably been somewhere in every one of these at one point in my life. So let's talk about number one, people who walk around the mountain. Now, when I think about walking around the mountain, if you like those mountains that we saw, most of them are just not one mountain, but it's a whole mountain, like mountainous area. So even to drive around it would take a couple hours. So I couldn't even imagine walking around it. So these are the people who look up. They look up at the mountain. They can barely see the top of the mountain. They look around, and they cannot see around the mountain. They get intimidated or feel like they're not strong enough to climb the mountain. How many of us felt that way sometimes when we've been walking through some issues, and you're like, oh, God, this is too big for me. I don't know if I can handle that. They're too weak to tell the mountain to be moved, so they try and walk around it. They can't see the sun because the mountain is too big and it's blocking everything out of their vision. All they can see is this, whatever's in front of them. It's overtaking them. They are in darkness because the sun cannot shine through. And how many of you know Jesus is the light of the world? And when we cannot see him, there is darkness because he is our light. We are met with depression sometimes. And the thought of not being able to defeat what we're facing. Have you ever felt that way when you're walking through something maybe and you just all of a sudden get a thought and you feel just weighted down and you feel like, oh God, I cannot do this. I can't go. If you are in any one of these places, just know that I believe that God is here to deliver you today. I believe that God is here to set you free. I believe he's here to show you what his word says, which is you can speak to anything in front of you and tell it to be removed and it will be removed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as they begin their journey through this around this mountain, they get tired, they get weary, they move themselves from places. We try to go do this and we try to go do this, but that's not what God is wanting us to do. So we're moving ourselves around. We're not in accordance to God's will like we read in that scripture. We're trying to do it in our own strength and our own ability without God. They build a house at the bottom of the mountain and they become satisfied in a sense or feel like there's no other way. And they become complacent where they're at. So they just kind of stay where they're at because they feel like there's no way out. There's nothing they can do. So they just stay there. Now, the second type of person I'm going to talk to is the people who walk up the mountain. So these are the ones that have tried to walk up it. Explain that. Sort of like around it, they're trying to find a way up and around it. How can I explain that? Sort of like... I'll explain it. So these are the ones who try to walk up the mountain. They see the top and think that the journey will be short and easy. But they feel like they have the strength to climb it. So again, in our own strength, we're trying to go over. Like, think of like a small obstacle. Have you ever been on an obstacle course and you feel like, oh, I can get this obstacle. I can climb over it or jump over it. But really, it was kind of like a little bit too hard for you. You can see the top, and it doesn't seem like it'll be that hard to get over it. But as you begin the journey, you're like, oh, no, I can't do that. Have anybody been there? I've been there. It's been embarrassing, but I've been there. So those are the type of people that I'm talking about. They can see some of the sun, but not much. So they're not in complete darkness, but it's enough to make the journey harder than they think. And like the previous group, the people who tried to go around the mountain, As they begin their journey, they get tired, they get weary, they move themselves from the place where God has for them, and they stay where they are. They become complacent, and they begin to feel like there's no way out. So the third type of people are the people who try to go through the mountain. And as I began to think about this one, I think about the people who've like built roadways and stuff through, like, have you ever driven through some of the mountains? Like, I just think, man, how long did that take for them to do that? I'm sure they had explosives and stuff, but I couldn't imagine the time and the danger of trying to go through a mountain. It takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of energy, and it takes a lot of years to do this. And when you reach the other side, you miss out on a whole life that could have been lived. Instead of trying to go through the mountain, there was a whole life behind that you've left, that you could have walked through, that you could have done something that God had for you. Again, you're moving yourself out of the purpose of God, out of the place where God has you, out of the will of God, and you're trying to do it in your own strength. How many of us have tried to do things in our own strength? Sometimes, you know, most of the time, it does not work out well. And if we do it, we're tired, we're weary. We even feel like a little bit of heaviness on us, like a depression or like something. It just doesn't feel right. Why? Because we were not meant to do that. That was not ours to do. That was for the Lord. And we've moved ourselves out of the Lord's will, and we began to do things in our own strength. But how many of you know the Bible tells us that our strength comes from the Lord? And that we need to hold tight to that as we begin to walk through life together and we walk through these journeys and these experiences. So they begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it's very distant, it's very far, and again, they're in darkness. So the first three people are kind of sad, and everybody's kind of quiet. But these people have something in common. They get tired. They get satisfied with less than what God had only created them for. And they live their lives with no light or only a small piece of the light from the sun. Because when we're in Jesus, he can make us whole. He gives us that light. So now we're going to go on to my two favorites. People who look at the mountain and run away. Now, I don't know, some of you, sometimes when we face things, I faced some things with my mom when she was alive, some illnesses, and it just seemed impossible. My mom had such great faith. She passed away a couple years ago, but my mom had great faith when it comes to her illnesses, and God had healed her time and time again. But she was not that type of person to look at something and walk away. Some of the things I felt like she faced, I would not have been able to handle it, but my mom was just amazing. But these types of people, they look at the things in front of them and they run away because they feel like it's too much. They can't handle it. They're not even willing to try. And then they begin feeling lost. They begin to feel alone. They begin to feel hopeless. There's the light right in front of them. There's Jesus Christ right in front of them, and they can't, because they've done it, because they have looked at it and they have run away. They cannot see God because they've just been so consumed. Now, my favorite. I think we've all been somewhere in one of these people, and I think we can all identify. So it's such a heaviness in here. I'm not trying to make people sad, but I'm building up because we've all been there, or maybe we're there now in one place or another. And so these are the types of people that God has called us to be. He has called us to be the people who tell the mountain to be removed. Amen. That's who we are called to be. We are the children of God. We are the army of God as a group. God has put us together to go. And if we can't do it alone, then you call your brother, or you call your sister, and you stand in faith together. And you just like say, I cannot do this alone. This is what's going on in my life. I need some help. Come beside me. Pray with me. Walk with me. Believe with me. And we can move this mountain together in the name of Jesus. I assure you. So I'm going to reread this scripture. It says, have faith in God constantly. I assure you most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes in what he says is going to take place, it will will be done for him. Everybody says that. It will be done for or her. Exactly. For me. In accordance with God's will. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe with confident trust that you have received them. You believe and you have received them in Jesus' name, and they will be given to you. Have faith. Tell the mountain to be moved. And according to James 1:6, it says, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. My faith is not in me and my ability. I will fail myself. My faith is not in my husband. He's human. He makes mistakes. My faith is not in my bank account. My faith is in the Lord. And if our faith is in the Lord, according to this scripture, your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. So if we're a person who does not have the complete confidence that the Lord will do what he says he would do according to his word, then we will be like the other people who are looking at these things and walking away or trying to do it in our own strength. God has given us the faith to be able to do this. I love what the Message version says. It says, keeping all your options open. It says, do not waver for a person with divided loyalty. But the Message version says, you're a person who keeps all their options open. So you're saying, God, you can do this, but, you know, I'm expecting this. Or, but this person said they could do this for me. Or says not in God. It's like you have this whole line of other or that. Does everybody understand? It's like your confidence is not in God. It's like you have this whole line of other things. It's already been done. Confidence is. But God is saying, no, I'm here. Look at me. I've already done it. It's already been done. Amen. Just look to me. And when you ask, tell him, God, my faith is in you alone. I might have these other things, but Lord, I know that no matter what, you are going to come through and you are going to do it for me. Amen. Luke 17:6 says, but the master said, you don't need more faith. There is no more or less faith. You know, the Bible says that we are all have a measure of faith. There's not more faith given or less faith given. We all have a measure of faith. If you guys have a kernel of faith, say the size of a poppy seed, which is really small. If you guys have ever held a poppy seed in your hand, you can say to the sycamore tree, go jump in the lake, and it would do it. Man, twice in God's word we just read, he says that we have the power and authority to tell something to move and it will be moved. I mean, we need to get this into us this morning. I mean, you might think, well, I don't have anything going on in my life right now, but maybe you will one day. We're going to talk about that as well really soon. But God is telling us, even the faith, the tiniest size. Have you ever had, like, even sometimes it says a mustard seed? They're so tiny in your hand, and just think how powerful that small bit of faith is. I mean, God is just so amazing. So amazing. So we have faith, we tell the mountain to be moved, and we do not doubt. Amen. So I wanted to take a look at someone in the Bible who had a sort of mountain in their lives. And we're going to look at David and Goliath. And we all know that story, but I kind of broke it down a little bit. And it says in 1 Samuel, David replied to the Philistines, because at this point, the Philistines have been yelling at the Israelites who've been all hiding in their tent. Goliath was their warrior coming out, telling them to come out and fight them, but they were all scared. But God sent David to the camp. Actually, his dad sent him. God had a plan. His dad sent him to deliver food to his brothers. But David came, and he saw Goliath, and he saw all the Israelites hiding. And this is what he said to the Philistines. You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of Heaven's army, the God of Heaven's army of Israel, head. And then I will give you the dead bodies of your men to the birds, wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Now, first, let me just say, if you want a really great book to read, it's got suspense, it's got love, it's got anything you ever read, the Bible is the book to read. If you ever are questioning, well, I need love and all kinds of amazing things, and the best thing that it has in it is Jesus died on the cross for us, and that we are saved and that we are delivered and we can live free today because of Jesus. Amen. And that we have a God in heaven who loves us. But this is the best book. I mean, look, it just said, I will kill you and cut off your head. The Bible is the book for you. So this is my thing. I was thinking, what did if it was today, and I was thinking, how would David go and talk to Goliath? I don't even know if I would have talked to Goliath, but we know that God was with David. So this is my breakdown, okay? This is my almost 45-year-old breakdown of today's language. So I feel like David said this to Goliath. He's like, hey, big G, I'm not afraid of you. You're all alone, but there are thousands with me you cannot see. So get ready because I'm about to take you out. How many think that's probably what he said? So we don't have to talk like David did, and we don't have to tell to these things in our lives that are bothering us and pushing us down and keeping us from being in the will of God and keeping us out of the light of the sun. But how many of you know that we don't have to say, I will kill you and cut off your head? How many of you know we can say this? I will take you out because of the power of God with me, because there are those with me that you cannot see, but I know my God is with me. I know that you cannot destroy me. I know that God has a plan for me. I know that by faith, and you can carry on. How many of you know we don't have to use all these words like in here, like I'm going to cut your head off. We can just say, no, I am not going to handle that. I'm not going to stand for that. This is what I'm going to do. And sometimes we just need that. And that's why I'm saying it's so good to have someone that you first go to the Lord. But if you continue on and you feel like you can just not get out of whatever is pressing you down, call somebody and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. I need someone to stand with me. And they will help you too. It's so important. And then we can have that faith rise in us where we feel like, yes, I can speak to this mountain. I can tell it to be moved. I do not have to suffer with cancer. I do not have to suffer with a broken marriage. I do not have to suffer with this or with that. I am a child of God. This is what he has promised me. This is where I'm going. This is my destiny. How many of you know you can just begin to start speaking those things? And as you begin to speak those things begin to rise up within you and you begin to take off and you don't even, mountains will be moved in your life. And Jesus, God is speaking through you. He is doing it, and those mountains will be moved in your life in Jesus' name. To myself, but the Bible says to sit back and allow things to happen to us in life. You know, the Bible says, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Bible says in James 1:3, be assured that testing of your faith through experience produces endurance. So how many of you know that the Bible says we're going to have trials? We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulation. Does it say we're going to fail? No. In Psalms 37, 23 through 24, it says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. We have talked about what? Standing and telling it. There are people behind us. We're speaking to the mountain. We have trials. We have tribulations. But what is it telling is really just stumble. We will never fall. Your falling is really just stumbling. If you believe in the Lord and you trust in the Lord, your falling is stumbling. God will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the word of God says. He is with you. And we just read, he holds you by the hand. He will take you and he will walk with you and he will be with you and he will be with you all the way. He won't be with you just some of the way, because how many of you know sometimes we go through, sometimes our trials last years. Sometimes they last days. Sometimes we can instantly speak to them and they will be gone. But how many of you know that God will never let go of your hand? He will never let you go. And that is his word, and his word is truth. And he says, I hold you by the hand. You will never fall. You may stumble. You may trip up. You may, you know, doubt a little bit. But I will never let you go. I am with you always. T.L. Osborne says, faith will not be a problem once you understand the truths. And that's so good. Where do we get our truths? We get our truths from the Lord in his word, reading his word, just like in Psalms. He directs our steps. He delights in every detail of our lives. And though we may stumble, we will never fall, for the Lord holds us by the hand. That is a truth. So if you're looking for a truth this morning in whatever that you're facing and whatever you feel is holding you down, if you're looking for a truth, I gave you a truth. Right from the Word of God, Psalms 37, 23 through 44. You may stumble, but you will not fall because God has got you by the hand. He will not let you down. You know, I've shared my testimony before, but I just feel like the Lord is wanting me to share it again. You know, I have a thyroid. I have Hashimoto's disease, and it's also an autoimmune disease, so sometimes my body can attack itself. And I've been walking through this for, I don't know, years. I don't even care because I know that I am healed. I've claimed my healing. I know that the word of the Lord says, by his stripes, by the stripes that Jesus took, I am healed. I know that I am healed, and I do not doubt it. And sometimes I have symptoms. How many of you know? And I think Pastor James talked about this a little while. There's a difference between truth and fact. The truth is that I have symptoms. The fact is that I'm healed. Amen. And that's what we need to hold on to. We need to hold on to the facts. And that is my fact, that I am healed. And sometimes I doubt, but God will not let me fall. He will not let me stumble. And this year, I believe I had just a huge breakthrough in my healing. I can't explain it. It's too long of a story, but I'll just share that I really believe that God is moving in my life, that he's completely healing my body, and that I'm believing before the end of the year that I'm going to be completely healed of my thyroid disease and I won't have any symptoms at all. That is a fact for me. Some of us need to grab a hold of those facts like that. You know, my marriage is this and that. No, you know what? Your marriage is awesome because God put you together. You know what? Your marriage is blessed. Or what about my health? Just like I said, my health, I am healed. In Jesus' name. The fact is that I am healthy. I am walking. I am talking. I might not be able to do this and I might not be able to do that, but I'm alive and Jesus has a purpose for me and I'm not going to let this take me down. I'm not going to let this hurt me or keep me from doing the purpose of what God has for me. And that's a perfect example of how we were talking about earlier. Those people who look at the mountain, who run away, the people who look at the mountain and don't feel like they can do it. But no, we need to be those people who look at the mountain and say, be removed in Jesus' name. If you need to rise up and say, cancer, be removed in Jesus' name, then do it. For my children, I pray for my children all the time. God, you have blessed them. You have a purpose for my children. No, I doubt sometimes? We're moms, so we doubt. But that's okay because God has a purpose for my children. Amen. And I know sometimes I need to rise up and say, God, you have a purpose for my children. You have a plan for them. And I need to rise up and begin to speak that my kids will go forth and do great things for the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we need to encourage ourselves. You know, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And so sometimes we need to just grab a word from the Lord and begin to just pray it out. Look in Psalms. Psalms and Proverbs is a good place to start if you're looking for an encouraging word for the Lord. Start if you just Google Proverbs or even Google. Google's a perfect place. Sometimes, excuse me, if you just Google a word. But make sure when you Google it, you put like scripture verses with it. And then all these scripture verses will come up and begin to just take one of those verses that really speaks to you and begin to just pray it over you. Begin to speak it over you. Begin to bring life back where you have lost a little bit of that hope. Begin to increase your faith. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need to know the word of God. We need to take the word of God. We need to begin to speak the word of God over our lives. And sometimes it's not just once or twice. Sometimes it's a continual, repetitive speaking and believing. And God's going to enter in. He's going to do things and he's going to amaze you. Amen. Because he will not let us go. He loves us. He will not let us go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. John 14:12 says, believes in me, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me we'll do the same work. Anyone who believes in me, greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Jesus is telling us, anyone who believes in me. If you read the stories of Jesus, you know he's healed. He fed thousands. He did so many. There's so many amazing healings and so many amazing things that Jesus did when he was here on earth with us. Well, with them. And he says in his word that we will do even greater works with him. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And through the Holy Spirit, we can do these works for God. Through the Holy Spirit, we can rise up and join with our brothers and sisters and walk forward in strength. Through the Holy Spirit, we can speak to these mountains in our lives and tell them to be moved. In Jesus' name, let's stand up. And I just want you to think something, Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, whatever it is, if it's for us, Lord, we pray that you would just begin to show us where we are, God. Are we looking at these problems in our life, Father, and are we being defeated by them, Lord, in a way? Are we need to trust you more, Lord? Father, whatever it is for whichever person, Father, I ask that you would begin to speak to them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for each heart. Lord, I pray for each person. Lord, I ask that you would just begin to speak to them in Jesus' name. Help, Lord, that you begin to help them see it, Lord. Help them know that you are there, God, that you did not leave them, but you are there with them, Lord, that you are walking with them, Lord, that they are not alone, Lord. Father, we just thank you, God, for faith, God, that rises up within us. Lord, we thank you that your word is true. Lord, we thank you that because of your son, Lord, we are here today, God. And Lord, we just call out to you right now, Lord, and we say, Lord, if we have unbelief, Lord, help us in our unbelief. In Jesus' name, Lord, help us, God. Father, we just thank you right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you. There ain't no valley. I was just reminded of this, that old song. There ain't no mountain high enough. There ain't no valley low enough to keep me away from you. I think that's what the Lord is saying to us this morning. There is nothing too big in your life to keep you away from the Lord. He loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Bless you, Lord. If you don't know Jesus this morning as your personal Savior, you may feel hopeless. You may feel like these things that you're facing right now are just weighing you down and you don't know what to do. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus died for you, that he loved you, and that he is here for you right now. That he wants to take those burdens from you. And he wants to give you a hope and a peace and a joy. So if there's anyone here this morning who has not accepted Jesus as their Savior, if you just want to lift your hand this morning and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I desire to know you more. Desire to be. Or maybe you are saved and you love the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, but maybe you've just been filled like you're like those waves that we talked about, tossed to and fro. And you just need someone to stand with you in faith and in prayer. If that's you, I want to ask you to come up front. We want to pray for you today. We want to believe God with you, that you're an overcomer. We want to stand with you in faith. If that's you this morning and you just need prayer because you're like, God, I'm just finding this. And sometimes I have doubts and sometimes I'm just not sure. But Lord, I pray that you would just help me, Lord, because sometimes I don't even know what to do. Or if you need prayer for healing this morning, please come up. If you're sick in your body, I'd like to pray with you and believe like God believed with me. Well, let's just all begin to pray and thank the Lord for what he's doing in our life. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for those of us who are in need, and we didn't come up this morning, Lord. Father, I thank you that you have given us the power to stand before anything and tell it to be moved, and it will be moved according to your will, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for faith, God, that we are here together, and through faith, Lord, we can see these things happen in our life and change, and Lord, we can have the testimony that what you've done in our life, Father. Lord, I bless each and every person this morning, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for touching of Christ in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for touching their hearts, Lord. Father, I thank you for touching their emotions, Lord. Father, I thank you right now, God, that you are in control, and Father, that you are doing things in our life in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that we are not the tail, but Lord, your word says we are the head in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you says that in you keep us, that you will not let go of us hands. Our hands, and though we may stumble, Lord, you will not allow us to fall. And so, Lord, I just declare over us blessing today in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare over us, God, that we will rise and we will not fall, Lord, that we will walk strong and we will not be weak, because you are with us. You are guiding us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.